Do it. Roll.
I'm going to open the House Committee on Energy and the Environment. Representative Helm should be here later during our meeting, time dependent. He has a couple bills to testify on. So with that, I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 634 and invite Senator Noak to come up and join us. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Power. Wow. That's a good name for a chair. Chair Power.
Power Chair.
That's right. And members of the committee, I'm State Senator Tim Canope. I represent Bend, Redmond, Tumalo, and Sun River. And I bring you Senate Bill 634. Passed out of the Senate 30-0, obviously universally supported. And I know that may not be the case in the House. So if you have amendments that can make this a better bill, I'm for that. But essentially, we call this our woody biomass bill. And essentially, what we're trying to do is this is a bill about choice. And so, as you know, state requires a 1.5% investment of green energy on new public buildings and major renovations. And so currently you can use solar and you can use geothermal. And what we're asking for is to make it a choice to use woody biomass as one of those opportunities. And as you know, in the east side of the state, there is a lot of opportunity to use waste from wood that is basically generated through thinning and overgrown forests. Oregon currently has 17 woody biomass power facilities, primarily in the wood products industry. An additional 21 facilities in Oregon use woody biomass to provide space heat, and these include schools and hospitals. This investment has allowed for more resources to stay in local communities and has provided a low-cost green energy for heating sources. And so really this is what we're trying to accomplish, and we'd look forward to your favorable treatment of this bill. And so I know there are others who wish to testify, and I don't wish to delay you, so I will just be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Interim Chair. So just to be clear, Senator, these are for building. These woody biomass systems need to be incorporated into the building design. We're not just talking about a standalone generating facility out there that could be somehow connected. So,
yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, yes, in most cases that is correct. And you could do it for like a major remodel, but still, if you're not making part of design of whatever you're doing, it's not going to be probably an efficient system. And I, you know, honestly, in most cases, I think if you're just looking at dollars, solar is probably going to win out in this. But there are occasions where solar, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be more efficient to use those dollars with a woody biomass system. And so that's what we're doing, is just trying to provide a choice, which, as you can see already, is, in terms of facilities, is somewhat limited around the state, but potentially opening up a little bit bigger market for it.
I think I can recall, a few years ago, we added the thermal.
Geothermal, yes.
Geothermal, and as I recall, it was specifically for Clay Falls, for the OIT campus in Clay Falls. Do you remember that?
I do, actually, yes.
Right, so we have modified this in the past.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the bill, you know, and looking at woody biomass as another alternative renewable energy. But I can speak a little bit to the history of why geothermal was added, because originally green energy technology was not necessarily defined as a renewable energy, but defined as one that had no emissions. And so, after a few sessions with the previous senator from Clay Falls area, relinquished to add in geothermal, because he made a good case that it really didn't have the emissions. So, but I don't see woody biomass in quite that same vein, understanding that the technology around some woody biomass can be pretty clean. And, you know, I'm willing to acknowledge that. But it is a little bit of a stretch from my seat to think that we can burn hog fuel with no emissions and call it green technology. So I'm working on an amendment to try to parse that out, where maybe in some parts of the state that may be a viable thing to do, and, you know, certainly help with the forest health. I'm not sure how many woody biomass boilers it will take to make any kind of impact on forest health. I would imagine it's going to take a lot more than we have public buildings to start with. And I will also note that though solar isn't the correct answer on all buildings, the legislation or the statutes don't require the local governments to actually use it on that particular building. They can defer it into the future if they so choose. So trying to get myself to a spot where this makes sense, I can think around the state in a lot of places that struggle with non-attainment, and in particular because because of wood stoves and burning biomass. And so there are places around the state that suffer from that, and it seemed kind of contrary to then incent their local governments to put in woody biomass combustion into those types of areas. And so I've been struggling, not saying outright no, although I'm, you know, probably a minority in this building after being around this issue since 2007, a full 10 years. I'm just have some issues with certain parts of this.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Hovey. I think I've only introduced it, I don't know, four times, so it sounds like I'm wearing you down just a little bit, and I appreciate your help in trying to make this a better bill. And I wouldn't disagree with a fair amount of what you said. And I think in certain circumstances where there is poor air quality, it doesn't make sense to allow this. And so these boilers are getting more efficient, as you know, and so the emissions are pretty small. And so I'm open to, you know, suggestions from the committee. I know the committee chair has been working on some amendments, and so I'm certainly, you know, open to changes to the bill, even though the Senate found perfection, that doesn't mean the House can't improve on perfection. So I'm sure you guys can improve the bill in some way and make this a good bill that we can be proud of.
Any other questions? Representative Brock Smith.
Thank you. And I look forward to seeing the amendments. Because in our, and thank you for bringing the bill, Senator, in rural Oregon, we don't have poor air quality issues for the most part. But what we do have is the slash, or the biomass that would be out, that is out there, is going to be burned in the forest, or it's going to be burned and produced. And more importantly, having this bill move forward could assist in driving that industry and creating some economic development in that area, in rural Oregon, to help rural Oregon in doing so. And so I can see a carve out for Portland and Eugene. I wouldn't see a state building in Portland trucking in woody biomass anyway, but I see the merits of the fifth round of the bill. So appreciate it coming through.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
To my colleague's comments there, I think in some ways you could look at the bill as in similar ways that we look at trying to incentivize charging stations, therefore the EVs will follow. If you put in place policy that's going to perhaps drive an industry, you know, You know, you create a demand, and then it will follow. But I think, secondly, to Representative Holvey's concerns, I think, about air quality and stuff, I think it would be pretty easy to eliminate those areas that are in EPA non-attainment zones. We have at least two, or are in the warning bubble or something, but that would still leave a great deal of state of Oregon that would still be eligible for, you know, implementing policies like this. So be happy to partner with my good colleague down there on a good bipartisan amendment so we can continue this unanimous support going forward. Thank you.
Okay, what I was going to say.
I knew I'd get him.
Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, when I look at this issue, you know, this statute's been pretty good for, you know, solar specifically, and that's what it was intended to do. As we watch, and we're hoping for the prices of solar panels to go down, and they have come down substantially. But I've always maintained, you know, just because of the narrow application of this, that it's such a small piece of biomass. I've lobbied long and have introduced bills in the past to actually provide from my standpoint, what would do better for the biomass and in cleaning up the forest health would be to have a revenue stream that actually supported a subsidy for pellets. That would actually make them competitive in price for consumers. That would go a lot further in my mind. I remember having what was it last session? Bear Mountain, I think, was the name of the company from John Day who came in and supported that bill. You know, we need a good revenue source. I don't know if the severance tax could afford a little bit more or not. But, you know, there are ways to, I think, provide some sort of subsidy for some of those wood fuels that are cleaner that I think would have a much bigger impact on air quality and on cleaning up the forest and positive for the industry. So that would be my ultimate goal. A long time, I realize this is, you know, going to, you know, set aside perhaps some solar for instead of in lieu of the woody biomass. So granted, I'm a bit troubled by it, but am committed to try to work on something that maybe we can find a medium here that you can support. So,
thank you.
Representative Brocksmith, do you have a question for the senator, too?
A question and a comment. Mm-hmm. So, how do you come from your district to the Capitol? Do you come through Eugene, or do you go up to Portland and come down?
No, I go over through Detroit.
Gotcha. So, Sisters.
Either is the answer.
Yes. Yeah. So, Sisters.
So, I remember, and it's been a few years, but all of the piles and piles and piles of biomass that could have ran a school boiler for, oh, I don't know, probably 20 years out there that had been cleaned out of the federal forests and just sat there and sat there and sat there and rotted.
Yep.
On the ground. It's probably when you said, we should use that to. And so when it comes to pellets, I've been involved in pellets when I was a county commissioner, and this type of biomass just isn't suitable to make pellets because of the wood itself is limbs and so forth is pitchy. You need to have a good strong Douglas fir that makes the best wood pellets, really. And so you compete. One of the problems is one of the reasons why it needs a subsidy, of course, is because you're competing with the other Douglas fir markets in order to make a pellet that limits ash and emissions. Because if you were to attempt to make a pellet out of the biomass that's on the forest floor, you got a bunch of pitch and it creates lots of ash and just gums up the stove. I wondered because I saw all those piles and piles.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative, that's certainly one of the drivers. On the east side, we see our forests burn almost every summer. We're hopeful this summer with all the rain and precipitation that we've had that that fire season will be a lot shorter and a lot less damaging. But yeah, I remember those days when we had the massive fires in Three Sisters Wilderness and over the pass that I drive twice a week. And that is part of the kind of the interest in this bill is very frustrating for a lot of us to see that material that after those fires is salvageable for use in many types of uses. And, you know, we fail to do anything and it takes so long and then it just rots and becomes really ultimately unusable. And as my good friend Congressman Walden says, he likes to see his forests green, not black. And I think we can do better in terms of forest health. And so hopefully this is just one small piece of trying to help that.
The forest fire aspect is a very valid argument because you're, again, driving, as Representative Johnson mentioned earlier, you're really driving industry to clean the underbrush out as well, create this woody biomass industry that can be used for something other than the slash that you let rot or burn in the forest anyway. And we all know that forest fires produce more greenhouse emissions than a lot of other things.
Good discussion.
One last point.
We do have some folks here to speak to.
Okay, I'm just maybe someone can answer this. How many tons of woody biomass will one boiler burn in a year, and how many tons of woody biomass do we have in our forests?
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative, I know there are people who come in behind me that can answer that.
Terrific.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Let's see. A couple of folks here to testify. I'll call you up in twos. Bill Cluding and Megan Nuss, please.
Hello, representatives. And
you can state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Megan Nuss. I'm the project development manager for Wisewood Energy. Thank you. First, I just want to say thank you for engaging with this bill and holding a hearing. And I know there are some questions about biomass energy technologies and emissions and different language that might be introduced in an amendment to make this a more palatable bill. And I really appreciate that you are willing to engage on that. And so thank you for that. Wisewood Energy is a Portland-based firm that designs and develops community-scale biomass heating and combined heat and power systems. We work in the West, Oregon, California, Washington, Idaho, Colorado, and Alaska, among other states as well. And we really believe in these technologies for a number of different objectives that they can hit, but certainly in reducing energy costs and supporting local economies and contributing to environmental stewardship. We very much support this bill. And I would say one of the primary reasons why we're in support is because it does put more decision-making authority in the communities themselves so that they can make a more informed decision about the types of renewable energy technologies that would really make sense for where they are. Solar and geothermal are great technologies, and we certainly want to see more of those technologies. They really don't meet the needs of all Oregonians. As many of you know, in the rural areas, most of those communities don't have access to natural gas, and so for their heating needs, they are dependent on propane, fuel oil, or electricity, which means that they've got pretty high heating costs and really unpredictable costs, which is kind of the killer there if you're trying to have a stable budget and plan out for years ahead, but you have experienced such swings in your heating bills over time, it can really cause issues there in small rural communities. Often those same communities have abundant natural resources in woody material, where biomass actually would make a really good a good fit for those places, and is much less is much cheaper than propane fuel, oil, and electricity on a per MMBTU basis. They can really compete well, depending, of course, on some circumstantial pieces of the project, but can do well in those scenarios. So one of the primary reasons we're behind this bill is that it puts more options on the table for more Oregonians. It really would expand renewable energy technology to places where it's not reaching as much, where it's not making as much of a dent where it could, and where there are other technologies that are more appropriate. And in our view, that should be in the hands of the communities themselves. They should have the option and be informed about what technology makes the most sense for where they are, what their circumstances are, what their needs are, their objectives, and so forth. All that goes into the kind of technologies that are implemented in a given project. The other piece I would add is we put in state-of-the-art modern biomass wood heating systems. These are systems that are specifically designed to operate very efficiently and to have low emissions. Europe, we get a lot of our technology from Europe, which is about 30 plus years ahead of us. And Wisewood Energy has engaged with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality and its counterparts in other states on numerous projects. And all of our projects have no problem meeting and exceeding even the strictest of emission thresholds. And we absolutely welcome the opportunity to continue to engage with the applicable agencies to work on any questions that there might be and to make sure that these systems are maintaining high levels of high standards of operations. And I, if I can, would like to address some of the questions that Representative Hovey had. For example, you make a good point about there's a scale mismatch in the types of biomass technologies that really work well, which tend to be smaller scale, and the scale of the restoration problem that we have in the fire-adapted landscapes in Oregon. And we certainly don't expect these systems to answer that problem. We put in a district heating system in Harney County in Burns just recently. It's heating a handful of buildings, including the school, the courthouse, a mental health facility, and they're looking to expand it to a couple of churches in a downtown area. And that system uses about 500 green tons a year to heat all those buildings. And for comparison, I believe the Malheur National Forest, which is just north of Harney County, estimated that they had 150,000 green tons of material that was just byproduct of their restoration treatments. That there's actually a collaborative agreement needs to find a market. So there's no way that these systems, as you said, it would take a lot to pull all of that material out. And frankly, I think that's a good thing. We find that this is one of the reasons why community scale systems have support on all sides of the aisle, is because it's at a scale that people are comfortable with. It's not creating an unsustainable demand for woody material. It's not going to drive harvests. It creates a modest demand that people can really see the additional benefits and get behind that and not be concerned about creating a monster that's going to start pulling wood from everywhere, because it's really quite small compared to the amount of material that's out there. The other piece I'd like to address is the question about non-attainment issues. And I echo what's been said, that we're happy to talk and work on amendment language that makes everyone feel comfortable with this. But it's something to think about. A lot of, one of, I would say, and we've spoken with folks at DEQ at length about this. They've actually approached us about having our modern wood heating systems being part of the solution to non-attainment areas, because often the biggest problem in those areas are, as you said, wood stoves, people burning a form of biomass, but typically that's a wet wood in extremely inefficient wood stoves. I'm sure most of them do not have EPA-certified wood stoves, and that is the primary problem. And yes, it is biomass, but it's an entirely different form than what we're talking about. So actually, one of the best things that could be done in an area that has a that's got non-attainment issues is if you take an area, a trailer park or someplace where there's a lot of wood burning going on, wood stoves, put them on a district heating system with a pellet boiler, and then take out all of that burning of low emission, like high emissions, low efficiency wood stoves, and replace it with a highly efficient modern wood heating system. So those are the kind of solutions that we like to think about. We love working with our partners in our non-governmental and governmental partners and municipalities to think of what really works best in these communities. And that's why I really urge you to include this language to add biomass as an optional technology, so that we can continue to find these innovative solutions in partnership with agencies and the other relevant partners, to because there's the technology is available, and there are so many additional benefits that this really can create really excellent solutions that hit all the concerns that people have. And I'm happy to take any other questions that you might have.
Well, let's wait, and then Bill, why don't you go? We can take questions from the panel.
Thank you, Madam Chair Powers, Chair Helm, Vice Chair Johnson. For the record, Bill Clooding, Carpenters Industrial Union. You have my written testimony. I'll just skim it. But while I'm doing that, if this handout, you might want to scan down through that and see what is actually going on so far here in Oregon. Excuse me. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 634. I think this is a very good bill. It has many good parts to it. It's been a proven cost saver, as you're scanning down through this sheet. I see it. It's probably kept a few of these small schools on the map. Every couple of years, the savings that this system generates, these schools can buy brand new books or some of the high-tech scientific equipment that our kids need. It's going to create rural jobs, working in our force. As you know, we have partnered up with the Federals on some of the federal force and doing some forest management, removing woody biomass, and it's working. Making these pellets will be a lifesaver. As you notice, there's a couple of hospitals that's converted over. And look at the savings at Illinois Valley High School, Enterprise School District. Again, I'll say it's probably kept these schools from falling off the map. As we remove this material from our forests, it lowers the chance of major forest fires, and we all know what these major fires have done to this state. Destroyed private land, homes, lives, public lands. This can halfway slow this down. The new technology meets all EPA and DEQ standards. Look at Oak Ridge. Lane County has a problem with wood smoke in the winter. We all know that. And they shut down all wood stoves. Senator Kozanski was tickled to see Oak Ridge High School still running. It's a good bill. I urge you to pass and make woody biomass equal to solar, wind, whatever, as far as the tax credits. Again, our southeast states are going full-time removing woody biomass, and they're shipping it in these big ocean-going cargo ships, Korea, Japan. They're paying big bucks. I'd like to see us get into that market, but let's do it one step at a time, and this is a step. Thank you. I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, John. Any questions for the panel? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Megan, thanks for your testimony. I'm looking at your website, and fascinating stuff. Question, you primarily are dealing with thermal energy.
Primarily,
but would it be also possible to generate electricity that could be a cogen type facility through this as well?
Yes, and we operate on small scales. Mm-hmm. So we actually have a project down in Northern California in the Sierra Nevadas, Plumas County, where we're working with the county there to put in a boiler similar to one that's in Harney County that would also, it would actually supplement a geothermal system that was done poorly and will have an ORC unit to provide some electricity there as well. It's very small. I think it's 165 kilowatts. And then we're also looking, we are starting to work more in a gasifier technologies where it, again, would be kind of 125, 165 kilowatt levels where you can do modules of them and stack them to get a little bit more power. The primary thrust of our work is in remote places, rural places, where we work with a lot of tribal organizations as well, and so that's where the power generation is really fascinating, and people are very interested in that. So we're going more that direction where it can tie into a very efficient boiler and create a little bit of electricity, so they've got some redundancy in the case of getting kicked off of their grids.
And look, the boilers that you assemble here look incredibly efficient, but do you have any data regarding particulate emissions in a way that would make sense to folks that are concerned about particulate emissions and mm-hmm. might compare and contrast to other sources?
We do. Yeah, and I can get you actual data, but from what I can speak to now, they're low. There are particulate emissions in biomass boilers, but there's various different controls to keep that down. One of the fundamental pieces that we put in the Harney project, and that will be in any projects that we do that use a hog fuel wood chip, the concern there, of course, is that when you have a higher moisture content or a variable moisture content, then if your boiler is set to certain parameters, then it's not going to be able to respond actively to a different moisture content. You could start getting emissions that you weren't intending. But the systems that we use are specifically designed to be very dynamic and to be, there's oxygen sensors in the primary and secondary combustion chambers to ensure that it's constantly measuring how efficiently it's being combusted, and then adjusting for that. So that is what allows us to use a boiler that can take variable moisture content fuel and still absolutely meet any efficiency emission thresholds. We've also, with that same boiler, just done an air dispersion modeling effort working with DEQ in Central Oregon at a system that we're designing. It's not in implementation stage, but we're working on the design. And there were some special concerns from DEQ there because it was within 10 kilometers of a Class 1 wilderness area, which has the most stringent emission thresholds on particulate emissions in particular. So we hired a firm to do air dispersion modeling for that case, and they did it. We did a couple rounds to respond to some other questions that DEQ had, and both times it was below. We did high output and then low operations, and both times it was below that most stringent threshold for particulate emissions in a Class 1 wilderness area, and that's the type of boiler that we put in for this district heating system, and that would go in other systems as well. And then, of course, there's things you can do on top of that. We put in multi-cyclones. You can put in an electrostatic precipitator to just get it down to zero. Of course, there's a extra cost with that, but in some places, if you're in a more populated place or the perception, public perception is a bigger concern, then you can certainly do that and really get it down really low. And I can certainly follow up with more hard data on that if you'd like.
Thank you.
Representative Holley.
Yeah, thank you for that. I would be also interested in that and may learn something about emissions from biomass of your emissions, you know, on a pellet boiler, because it sounds like you make different kinds of boilers for different types of fuel.
Correct. We don't manufacture them, but we have a good handle on the different technology that's out there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the emissions from the different types.
Mm-hmm.
So we can compare them.
Yeah, there's some data, some graphs that show pellets, and generally pellets have a bit less emissions than a wood chip boiler, because you're dealing with a more variable fuel. But then when you can add like an ESP, and then that can get it even down to a pellet level. So it really depends on the needs of the project and how low it needs to go. As I said, we've always passed all the regulatory thresholds, but you can go mm-hmm. beyond that as well. But I can follow up on other data.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the panel? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to call Bob Sorek and Mark Nystrom, please.
It's just me. Oh, no, Mark.
Oh, Mark seems to be on this way.
Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Bob Sorek. I'm founder, president, and CEO of Bear Mountain Forest Products. Bear Mountain's back. I'm on the governor's, or was on the governor's biomass task force, the DEQ wood smoking working group as well, and I'm a forester. Bear Mountain was founded in 1988 in Hood River, Oregon, and has grown to employ 50 people at two wood pellet manufacturing plants in Oregon, one in Cascade Locks and one in Brownsville. We heat approximately 60,000 homes and four schools per year with clean, renewable wood pellet fuel and modern wood heating appliances. In addition, we support two rural Oregon counties that need jobs, a state that needs energy dollars to cycle locally, over 100 Oregon retailers that need stable products to sell. We support also 14 Oregon sawmills that need markets for their residuals of lumber production, and hundreds of local supporting businesses that depend on us and are counting on this industry to not only remain viable, but continue to grow. In addition to the important points I've just mentioned, there's a couple of things that weren't covered earlier I thought maybe would be a good idea to talk about. One is the idea that we're not talking about, when we talk about modern wood heating devices, we're not talking about your grandfather's wood stove. These new devices and the pellet stoves or pellet boilers, the idea behind them is not to pack it full of wood that could be 25% to 30% moisture content and control the combustion process by turning down the combustion air. What these devices use is an auger to put more or less fuel into the furnace so that you have the right combination of combustion air and fuel, so that the actually very low moisture content, 2% moisture content to 6%, is burned almost completely, over 98% combustion efficiencies. And once that's achieved, you can put very good heat exchangers on that, so you can get most of the heat out of the gas streams. So it's totally different than the old hog fuel boilers or the wood stoves. In fact, the wood stove working group decided that pellet stoves were a good answer to be put into those areas that were non-attainment. So they're proven to be very, very clean. They're not perfect, but they're very clean. And as Megan mentioned, they can be fitted with with bag houses or electrostatic precipitators that will make them even cleaner. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the idea that biomass isn't stagnant. I mean, it's every year, every day, month, every year, it's growing. There's more and more and more. And as far as the question about how much biomass is out there, I can't answer that question either. But it's massive amounts. And the only way it's going to go away is either it's going to burn up or it's going to rot. And both of those two things cause a lot more pollution than pellet boilers or pellet stoves or chip boilers. So not sure we can't correct the whole problem of too much biomass out there, but we can certainly go a long way toward it. So we can decide either to start helping that problem, or we can ignore it and have forest fires, which also produce 30 times more harmful methane gas than CO2 that comes out of a pellet stove. So you have a better burn, you have less, and then you get the energy, the heat out of it that is just going up into the atmosphere and polluting. I'm a strong supporter, obviously, of the bill, and that aims to create parity for renewable energy technologies in Oregon. I look forward to answering any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Chair Power and members of the committee, I'm Mark Nystrom. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. I've submitted testimony on OLIS, so I'm not going to bother reading that. I just do want to emphasize that AOC supports Senate Bill 634, the A version, and we've been working with a group of impressively large group of people who have a vested interest in seeing the success of this bill. So it's been a interesting process to see emails bouncing around and looking at trying to work with Chair Helm and other people who are willing to work with us. So I appreciate that. I'm going to defer to the tech people on all the amendments of what is a proper efficiency and emissions. But politically, the association supports it. We feel like it's a win-win-win kind of situation. So we look forward to your support. Thank you.
Any questions for the panel? Representative
Hogan. Thanks. I'm sort of curious, after listening to Brock Smith, is there some sort of biomass from the forest that you can't make pellets out of?
The logs, the small non-merchantable logs that come from thinning projects. Mm-hmm. John Day, we're doing over in John Day right now. Yeah.
Those you cannot make?
No, you can.
Can. Yeah. So I guess my question is, what can't you use?
The needles and real small twigs. Mm-hmm. What they do over in Europe is they actually bring in all of the slash and they stack it in windrows, put a tarp over top of it, a roll of plastic, and they call it getting the green out. So the needles fall off, and about 6 months later they come in and they grind it all and put it into the boilers.
So they can grind all of it except once the needles, the greenery is gone.
Right. The greenery has some chemicals in it that harm the inside of the burn chamber.
Thank you. And a follow-up. I was curious, Mark, do you have one of these at your house?
Chair, Representative Holvey, no, I don't.
Okay, just checking.
I have a gas. we're lucky enough to have gas in our neighborhood.
Representative Brosnan.
I do have a pellet stove, and I use Bear Mountain pellets for that pellet.
Nice.
There
you go. Nice plug.
Well, I figured I'd help out the Hood River.
They sell them in Brookings?
They sell them all over the state and Southwest Oregon. The if I may follow up. And I could have been mistaken, and thanks for if I was pointing it out. The slash that I refer to is the limbs when through logging projects and so forth that have a lot of bark. Of course, my understanding was is utilizing just that slash to make pellets could be cumbersome because of the amount of bark and added pitch versus the whole Douglas fir tree.
It's difficult to use right now, mainly because the sales aren't, or the timber sales aren't designed with that in mind.
Yeah.
So what they do is out in those piles, they push them up with a cat,
mm-hmm.
and you get dirt in the piles, and you get contaminants that cause high ash and clinkering in the boilers. But if they were done in a way that they were mechanically harvested, like I made some trips over to Sweden and Denmark, and they actually have that in mind when they do the harvesting, so they keep them clean, and they gather them with a grapple and a forwarder and bring them right to the roadside where they can run the chipper down the side of the pile, and it makes a really good fuel. The whole communities are heated with them.
Gotcha. Them Swedes.
Further questions? Okay, thank you. All right, with that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 634. And would you like this back? Okay.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks. Then I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 100. And Beth, can you explain the -2 amendment to us?
Mr. Chair and committee members, or Madam Chair and committee members, excuse me. You originally heard this bill on 5-8. This is the bill that would update statutes governing the SHOW program. The -2 transfers duties, functions, powers of from the Oregon Department of Energy related to the oil-heated dwellings to the Oregon Housing and Community Services Department, and establishes that transfer becomes operative January 2nd, 2018. There is a fiscal impact issue and a revenue impact requesting the measure be sent to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
So, Vice Chair Power, I move to adopt the -2 amendment dated 5-3 of 2017.
Representative Johnson moves to adopt the -2 amendment dated May 3rd, 2017. Is there any discussion? Is there objection? If not, the amendments are adopted.
Vice Chair Power, I move Senate Bill 100 as amended to the floor of the do pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Johnson moves Senate Bill 100 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
I'm curious about the referral. Can you? I may have missed it when I was out of the room. It didn't go to Ways and Means in the Senate. Why is it going to Ways and Means now? Because of the -2 amendment?
Madam Chair and committee members, the -2 amendment that you're adopting transfers the program from the Oregon Department of Energy to Oregon Housing and Community Services. So Ways and Means would need to be able to make those changes.
And there becomes a fiscal involved at that point. Thank you. Yes.
Representative Holby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, just note that the -2 amendment was actually moving this program out of the Department of Energy and to Housing and Community Services Department. I strongly support, and it was one of the recommendations that our joint committee on Department of Energy oversight concluded with, though we didn't have a formal vote of everybody agreeing to it, a consensus vote as such. It was largely agreed to by the members that this was a good piece and part of the overall look and reorganization of the Department of Energy. And since the Housing and Community Services Department handles many of these weatherization programs, this was really a much, much better fit for this program than the Department of Energy. So obviously speaking in support of this bill.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Excused.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Marsh?
Aye.
Representative Rushby?
Aye.
Representative Brocksmith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Power?
Aye.
Chair Helm?
Aye.
All right, the motion passes and the bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. All right, with that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 100 and adjourn the meeting on energy and the environment. And adjourn the meeting on energy and the environment.